The story behind the song. Undoubtedly, one of the most widely memorized and recited poems in the English tongue is Henry Wadsworth Longfellow's Excelsior. Almost every schoolchild knows it. Almost every student of elocution and speech has learned it as a part of his work. It is small wonder, then, that long ago the verses were picked up and adapted into a song which has approached the popularity of a folk melody, known to us today as Youpidee. Longfellow's poem tells the allegorical story of a Swiss youth, climbing alpine fastnesses, rising above the common habits and foibles of a mundane world, aspiring ever toward greater mental and spiritual heights, bearing always aloft a banner with a strange device, Excelsior, higher. There are many martyrs in the historic annals of Switzerland, but none greater, none more beloved by proponents of personal liberty than François Bonnivard, the tragic hero immortalized by Lord Byron in his poem, The Prisoner of Chillon. From out the past, from the dim, blood-stained pages of the 15th century, the voice of François Bonnivard speaks to us.
My hair is gray, but not with years, nor grew it white in a single night as men's have grown from sudden fears. My limbs are bowed, though not with toil, but rusted with a vile repose, for they have been a dungeon spoil. And mine has been the fate of those to whom the goodly earth and air are banned and barbed, forbidden fare. But this for my father's faith I suffered chains and courted death. That father perished at the stake for tenets he would not forsake, and for the same his lineal race in darkness found a dwelling place. Three were in a dungeon cast, of whom this wreck is left the last. Chained us each to a column stone, and we were three, yet each alone. We could not move a single pace, we could not see each other's face, but with that pale and livid light that made us strangers in our sight. And thus together, yet apart, fettered in hand, but joined in heart, 'twas still some solace in the dearth of the pure elements of earth to hearken to each other's speech, and each turn comforter to each, with some new hope, or legend old, or song heroically bold. But even these at length grew cold. Our voices took a dreary tone, an echo of the dungeon stone, a grating sound, not full and free as they of yore were wont to be. It might be fancy, but to me they never sounded like our own. I was the eldest of the three, and to uphold and cheer the rest I ought to do, and did my best, and each did well in his degree. The youngest, whom my father loved, because our mother's brow was given to him, with eyes as blue as heaven, for him my soul was sorely moved, and truly might it be distressed to see such a bird in such a nest, for he was beautiful as day. And thus he was as pure and bright in his natural spirit gay, with tears for naught but others' ills. And then they flowed like mountain rills, unless he could assuage the woe which he abhorred to view below. The other was as pure of mind, but formed to combat with his kind. Strong in his frame, and of a mood which gainst the world in war had stood, and perished in the foremost rank with joy, but not in chains to pine. His spirit withered with their clank. I saw it silently decline, and so perchance, in sooth, did mine. I said my nearer brother pined. My brother's soul was of that mold which in a palace had grown cold, had his free breathing been denied the range of the steep mountain side. Oh, but why delay the truth? He died. He died, and they unlocked his chain and scooped for him a shallow grave, even from the cold earth of our cave. But he, the favorite and the flower, most cherished since his natal hour, his mother's image and fair face, the infant love of all his race, his martyred father's dearest thought, my latest care, for whom I sought to hoard my life, that his might be less wretched now, and one day free, he too was struck, and day by day was withered on the stalk away. Oh, God, it is a fearful thing to see the human soul take wing. So softly worn, so sweetly weak, so tearless, yet so tender, kind and grieved for those he left behind, and not a word of murmur, not a groan, nor his untimely lot. And then the sighs he would suppress of fainting nature's feebleness, more slowly drawn, grew less and less. I called and thought I heard a sound. I burst my chain with one strong bound and rushed to him. I found him not. I only stirred in this black spot. I only lived. I only drew the accursed breath of dungeon dew, the last, the soul, the dearest link between me and the eternal brink, which bound me to my failing race, was broken in this fatal place. What next befell me then and there, I know not well. I never knew. First came the loss of light and air, and then of darkness, too. I had no thought, no feeling, none. Among the stones I stood a stone. There were no stars, no earth, no time, no check, no change, no good, no crime, but silence, and a stirless breath, which neither was of life nor death. A sea of stagnant idleness, blind, boundless, mute, and motionless. A kind of change came in my fate. My keepers grew compassionate. I know not what had made them so. They were inured to sights of woe, but so it was. My broken chain with links unfastened did remain, and it was liberty to stride along my cell from side to side, and up and down, and then athwart, and tread it over every part, and round the pillars one by one, returning where my walk begun, avoiding only as I trod my brother's grave, without a sod. It might be months, or years, or days. I kept no count. I took no note. I had no hope my eyes to raise and clear them of their dreary moat. At last, men came to set me free. I asked not why, and recked not where. It was at length the same to me, fettered or fetterless to be. With spiders I had friendship made, and watched them in their sullen trade. Had seen them mice by moonlight play, and why should I feel less than they? We were all inmates of one place, and I, the monarch of each race, had power to kill. Yet, strange to tell, in quiet we had learned to dwell. My very chains and I grew friends. So much a long communion tends to make us what we are. Even I regained my freedom with a sigh.
Shillon, thy prison is a holy place, and thy sad floor an altar. For 'twas trod until his very steps have left a trace worn as if thy cold pavement were a sod by Bonivar. May none these marks efface, for they appeal from tyranny to God.
We're falling fast,
la la la, la la la,
as through an alpine village past,
la 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 la.
A youth who born in snow and ice,
a banner with this strange design. You fight the idea, da. You fight the, you fight da. You fight the idea, da. You fight the idea. You fight the idea, da. You fight the, you fight da. You fight the idea, da. You fight the idea.
Oh, stay, the maiden said, and rest.
Tra-la-la, tra-la-la.
Thy weary head upon this breast.
Tra-la-la-la-la.
A fear stood in his bright blue eye.
But still he answered with a sigh. You fight the idea, you fight the, you fight the, you fight the idea, you fight the idea. You fight the idea, you fight the, you fight the, you fight the idea, you fight.